swinging a high flight.
Swung on high.
This is tagged.
High hammered at the gap.
At the track. High and deep to right.
That ball just got out of here.
That was hit a ton.
This is going to go to the rock
this
pile.
This ball's getting small.
This is charged. Right back at the track.
Seems like the ball's had a lot of life the last couple of nights.
We could go back to back. Here's Adam Engel swinging a long one to left. We're going to have a tie ball game. He did go back to back. High and deep. This is crushed to left center field. This is going to go for a home run. Way out of here.
This is White Sox Weekly. The White Sox have been busy this offseason. They signed a couple of top free agents and spent some bucks in the process.
Boy, this ball is hammered. Way up to the home run porch. Mazzara with a two-run homer. Oh, my!
They've closed up some holes.
Inside corner, that is a dirty dozen for Dallas Keuchel.
Gosselin, line shot caught by Gio Gonzalez.
And they've added some serious talent.
Back in a deep right field, and it is gone. A no-doubter for Yasmani Grandal. Bring it in, Rod! Get out of here, Rod!
The proverbial window has begun to open.
The Chicago Baseball Conversation.
Point back at the track.
On the flagship home of the Sox.
It is gone!
720 WGN.
720 WGN indeed. Mark Harmon with you. White Sox Weekly till 7 o'clock in advance of Blackhawks hockey. The Chicago White Sox have set the sports part of this city ablaze this week, and congratulations to the White Sox. The Wimperoo, Tom Pachor, come on up here. Brooks Boyer as well. Sox fans, single game tickets going on sale Wednesday, January the 15th. That's this coming Wednesday, team. 10 in the morning. Join us for a season filled with great giveaways and more. Lower level tickets start at just $20. Visit WhiteSox.com for more information. All right, you know the names, right? You know what the White Sox have done. Yasmani Grandal behind the plate. Edwin Encarnacion, DH and first baseman. Nomar Mazzara going to play some right field. Dallas Keuchel going to pitch in that starting rotation. Gio Gonzalez probably will do the same thing, but could pitch out of the bullpen as well. Steve Cishek signing this week, 1 year, $6 million deal. Options could take it up to $12 million in 2 years. Coming over from the Chicago Cubs, where he pitched the last couple of years. Cubs didn't want to pay him. Comes over to the White Sox. Sox, of course, also extending Jose Abreu and doing the same with Luis Robert. We're now at $195.5 million the White Sox have spent this offseason, which places them fourth in all of baseball behind the Yankees, Nationals, and Angels, ahead of others like the Phillies, Blue Jays, Diamondbacks, Reds, and Braves, who have also spent dough this offseason. Now, the White Sox are weighing in from their marketing department. And they put out the tweet this week, coming out yesterday, "We're not just here to play the game, we're here to change it."
On the South Side, we have our own mentality. It's an attitude embraced by legend and instilled in future. We play louder, faster, bold. The only way we know how. And we don't stop. Because you never know when one hit, one pitch, one moment can change everything. We're not just here to play the game. We're here to change it.
So I love it. The White Sox are leaning into who they are, right? You've got Tim Anderson, who I would say certainly is, you know, longest tenured batting average champion, and early last season gets into it with Brad Keller, calls him a name, gets suspended for a game, which was total BS, but he didn't apologize at all for who he is, how he plays, attitude, all of it. And baseball fans, at least a good portion of them, have been screaming for a long time, hey, enough with the old school rules of baseball. We like bat flips. We like seeing guys out there who are enjoying themselves. We want to hear from the players, get to know the players. Front of the jersey's cool, but I also want to know the guys. I want to know the names on the back of them. I want to identify a little bit more, I would say, NBA in baseball versus just the old school pull the cap down, run around the bases, no personality. Baseball wants younger fans, and they have a ton of them. I'm not, you know, it's maybe it's a little bit overplayed. And the White Sox do a great job in bringing the youth out to the ballpark. Family Sundays, $5 a ticket, run the bases after the game, ton of kids running around Guaranteed Rate Field. But to actually get to know these guys, to hear their voices, to feel connected to them, I mean, I think that's what they're talking about. Louder, faster, bolder. All of that plays into where baseball is trying to go, just to flat out just get a little bit cooler. Right? And why would you want to run away from that? I think the Sox leaning into it is great. Now they're going to have to go out and play some winning baseball to really have it catch on. But fans are loving it. I mean, if you go on the White Sox Twitter and you start reading the comments, I mean, it is unbelievable how excited people are. You know, I just bat flipped my phone watching this video. Can't wait to see our boys get on the field. Great things are bound to happen. Can we add this song to a future promo? I mean, just on and on and on, people. I love you guys. So is it too late to jump on the bandwagon? All of this, you see it, and Twitter could at times be the vocal minority, but I think this one is really a smart strategy play by the White Sox. And I think the players, you know, they've gotten buy-in from Tim and everybody. They wouldn't be able to do this if their guys didn't want to. So the fact that they are signing on the dotted line, that's right, we're louder, we're faster, we're bolder, we're not just here to play the game, we're here to change it. And that those guys are in on that, I think it speaks very highly of where the White Sox are going, because their team actually believes it and wants it and is excited to prove it. All of that is that's a huge win in my mind. So we'll see what happens once the season comes rolling around here. But fingers crossed that they'll be able to be in the mix this year to get in the playoffs and maybe even more than that. Sox games, by the way, are better with a group. It's never too early to lock in your 2020 group package, from a diamond suite to a pregame patio party. Get the perfect space for your occasion. For more information, visit WhiteSox.com or call 312-674-1000. Coming up next, we have our conversation with Brooks Boyer. That is straight ahead. And then Tom Pachorek a little bit after 6:30. Brooks Boyer, White Sox Vice President Marketing Sales, up next. Sox Fest right around the corner. A lot of information about the slogan straight ahead. 720 WGN.
It's great to be back with WGN.
It's White Sox Weekly on the official radio station of the Chicago White Sox. 720 WGN.
720 WGN. Mark Harmon with you, and this is a big day, as we have Sox Fest right around the corner, and we've got the Senior Vice President Sales and Marketing, Brooks Boyer. Now, Brooks, we're going to do this in a very respectful way. I don't exactly know how I'm going to do this, but you have something to sell now, Brooks Boyer. It's a different game for you. So this has to be enormously exciting that your fan base is super geeked up and can't wait for opening day.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's as our ad campaign talks about, it's time to change the game. It's time to change the mentality. It's time to change the perception. I think, you know, Ricky has said quite often, you know, that as we go through this process, the focus becomes what's on the field. And from a marketing perspective, when you look at the collection of players that we have, I mean, it's super exciting, and it's great to sit here and have expectations from fans, expectations from ourselves. It's a lot of fun, and it's energizing, it's exciting. And you know, when you can have a guy, you know, like LaRoyce Hawkins from Chicago PD, who's a Southside White Sox fan, involved and engaged, he's just brought kind of a new level of enthusiasm to some of the things that we're able to put out there. And when you can put, you know, these players out front, it is a lot of fun. And the personalities that we have, you know, Mark, not all the people listening know the personalities in that clubhouse, but there are a lot of fun guys that are engaged. They're engaged, you know, socially. Social media is a big thing. They've grown up with it. They're comfortable telling you what they ate for lunch on Instagram. and it's a lot of fun to work with these guys and to be able to up their profiles in the market as the game continues to change and we continue to go through this rebuilding process that has evolved into a new stage.
Brooks Boyer with us here on 720 WGN. It's White Sox Weekly. All right, let's go into that clubhouse, Brooks, because there's so many guys that I enjoy talking to. It's a great clubhouse. Tim Anderson, though, he's been out front for you guys for a long time. And for a guy like that who's staying around Chicago, very much in the community, he's not like the most verbose guy of all time, but he wants to be the face, right? He loves being out there. To have that guy as an asset, that's a huge thing for you, is it not?
It is. And Tim is, you know, as wonderful of a player he is, he's an even better human being. He's just a great guy, great family, great values. You know, all the things that you would want in a guy who's going to represent our brand and represent the White Sox. You know, on top of that, he plays with a chip on his shoulder. He plays with aggression, an unapologetic way of playing the game that resonates with not just White Sox fans, but with baseball fans. The guy gets after it, and that's the mentality of this team. They play bolder, they play louder, they play faster. That's what this team wants to do. That's what this team is going to do. So it makes it very exciting to just say, "Hey, world, here they are." That doesn't promise, you know, that we're going to win the World Series. It doesn't promise that you're going to make the playoffs. What it promises is an exciting brand of baseball that, you know, has the potential to have sustained success, and that's what we're excited about. You know, we want to be a team that's in the tournament every year, and we want to promote a team and let fans know what these guys are all about, and I think they want that too. And you know, obviously that's why you play the 162 games, is to get in that tournament, and I think that's what you'll see the focus being moving forward.
Well, and I also think when you look at baseball as a whole, the whole we're here not just to play the game, we're here to change it, baseball has a little bit of an identity crisis going on right now, right? You've got an older fan base, you're trying to connect to younger people, so it feels to me like the White Sox are on the cutting edge of that, right? This is, hey, people want more excitement in the game, they want a little more edge, and you guys have that, and you're leaning into it rather than running away from it.
Well, yeah, and that's a perception. You know, the perception, oh, it's all old people that watch baseball. That's not the case. You know, when you think about playing, like I said, playing, you know, bold, playing loud, playing fast, those types of things are exciting. You look at the World Series from last year. You know, Alex Bregman, you know, walked his bat down to first base and gave it to his first base coach. You know, then Soto sees that, he does the same thing. That's fun. Now, some of the old guard maybe doesn't like that. But it is a new world of baseball, and yes, we're leaning in, and we want this to be fun. You know, I think you're going to see when we talk about change the game, we're not just talking about trying to win more games. That's obviously very important. You know, but we're trying to change the experience for our fans here, and make this as engaging and as fun of an experience as we possibly can. So, you know, we're this is an entire organizational type thing. And you look, I think the Chicago Blackhawks did a terrific job when they had a cast of young players of creating one goal. And we certainly got inspiration, you know, from that, and it has worked. And, you know, Change the Game is something that we believe is not just, you know, marketing department slogan. You know, we've talked to our players about this, and they're bought in, and that's something that's important, because this is organizational, which includes our fan base.
Well, Timmy started it last year with Brad Keller. I mean, that whole incident, and he rather than like being like, "I'm really, really sorry, and that's not me, and I'm never going to do that again," that's not what he did. You know, and he accepted his one game suspension and all that, but he said, "Look, you know, I'm here to do something different." I love it. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, he changes the game, but Yoan Moncada can change the game you know, with one swing of the bat, you know, or one play. You know, you look at, you know, what is, you know, with Eloy, with all the guys, with Grandal, with Abreu, all these guys can be game changers. And you know, heck, I didn't even get into our pitching staff, which can all do that. So, you know, we're really excited about the extensions that this can have and how it connects and engages with our fan base.
I also love that you guys did not shy away from putting the Eloy homer at Wrigley Field all over the marketing.
That changed the game, right?
It absolutely did. A 1-1 game in the ninth inning, a 2-run bomb at Wrigley with Sox fans going crazy. It was fantastic. Senior Vice President Sales and Marketing Brooks Poyer with us here, 720 WGN. Sox Fest coming up Friday, January 24th, the 25th, McCormick Place. I think Saturday is sold out. Is that right, Brooks?
Saturday is sold out. There are tickets available, Friday only tickets. I'm sounding silly now. I'll get made fun of on Twitter for keep saying this, but you know, we're changing the game on Sox Fest a little bit too, of going to 100,000 square feet of open space at McCormick Place for 2 days. A great way for our fans to connect and engage with the new players, with the players that are coming up, and to just get excited for baseball. It's pitchers and catchers were just over a month away, and Sox Fest is the unofficial kickoff of the season, and it'll be a great way. We're going to have more autograph stages. We have two different seminar stages, a lot of interactive games. It's going to be a great time. We always look forward in the winter to bring to give the opportunity to bring Sox fans together and start talking about the team. And obviously, there's a lot to talk about. And I think sports radio will be abuzz with the White Sox as we head into Glendale, Arizona.
We are looking forward to it. And yes, full show. Coming up next week from Sox Fest. Friday only passes, by the way. They're $45. You got Jose Abreu, Tim Anderson, Lucas Giolito, Yasmani Grandal. Eloy's going to be there. Yoan's going to be there. Ricky, Cease, Bummer. They're all going to be there.
Mark Harmon's going to be there.
Damn straight. What are we doing for Hawk this year, Brooks? Because, damn it, he made the Hall of Fame. That was so sweet.
It's one of those things where, you know, finally it happened. You know, all of us felt strongly that Hawk was more than deserving of the honor and the award. And you know, just to know the emotions and of Hawk, for him to get in was terrific. So we will absolutely celebrate Hawk at the ballpark this year.
So I went on my honeymoon. You should know this. And I was laying on the beach. I read two books. One of them was Hawk's book, and I didn't realize what a complete lunatic Hawk Harrelson was. Like, oh, I'm in a slump. What do I do? Well, I'm going to go get in a bar brawl. That's my strategy. I mean, it was, and how many friends the guy had. It was a great read. But Hawk Harrelson was a crazy dude, Brooks Boyer.
How great would it have been if there was social media around when Hawk was
right?
Well, when Hawk was Hawk, it would be legendary. But you know, that's the Hawk has been no different. From the time that he played to the time that he broadcast. I mean, you could hear it on the air. He probably wanted to get in a bar brawl when he was mad at the club at some point or an official. But, you know, it's unique. And that's what belongs in the Hall of Fame is when someone brings a flair to the game for a sustained period of time that mattered and Hawk mattered. So it's great that and deserving that he's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
No doubt. All right, I read a bunch of these promos every week here about tickets, but I just want to give you a chance to talk about it. You guys have phenomenal values, $20 for lower level seats. You know, you can do multiple packages. So people are interested in getting tickets to see the 2020 White Sox. What do they do?
Well, individual tickets go on sale next week. But as you could probably imagine, with the evolution of the team, season ticket packages where people can secure the best seats to the games that they want are available. Whether it's a full season plan, a 40-game plan, 20-game plan, or 10-game plan, give us a call. We'll customize the games. Check us out online, whitesox.com, season tickets. There's a way to customize a plan to make sure that you come to the games that you want to go to. So let us help you out, and we'll put you into a season plan. And, you know, gosh, like I said, it's fun to talk about expectations. It's fun to hear from our fans about getting season tickets. And they ask the question, and they mean it, is, you know, do these come with postseason options? It's nice to have those expectations. And, you know, I know Ricky and the boys are looking forward to living up to those expectations and taking on those challenges, as are we in the front office.
Yeah. What can you answer that question? Like, do you have to buy a minimum of 40 to be postseason eligible? How does that work? Or do you not know?
Well, there's different options for the different plans.
Okay.
So depending on, obviously, if you have a full season plan, you're going to get your seats for all of the postseason. And then as you go down in plans, there's options, but they may be lesser.
Right. Makes sense. All right. Brooks, we're fired up. Thanks for being on. We'll see you at Sox Fest.
All right, go Sox. Can't wait.
Tickets on sale next week. Brooks Boyer, our guy, Senior Vice President, Sales and Marketing, 720 WGN.
At the wall, the 380, gone. A three-run homer for Tim Anderson. 3-1 White Sox.
Back to White Sox Weekly on 720 WGN.
720 WGN. Time to bring in the Wimperoo. Tom Pachorik is with us, and... Wimpy, let's start with your guy Hawk getting in the Hall of Fame. Did he call you up and start crying or anything? Did he have a reaction, or have you not even heard from the guy and he's acting like it didn't happen?
No, I called Hawk up, and you know, he was very calm and clean. I was really excited for him. I swear, I was jumping up and down and just screaming like a little kid. And he, you know, as usual, he says, "Calm down, Wimpy. You'll be all right." But I thought it didn't come soon enough. You know, I think Hawk has paid his dues. He's been a great asset to baseball over the years. You know, just for the game itself, not only from the broadcasting aspect of it. So you know, you know, the last thing I said at the Hawk's retirement thing at the ballpark. When I got a chance to introduce him, I says, you know, when you folks come to the ballpark, look up there at that broadcast booth and remember the Hawk Roo, and remember one thing, he gone, but he'll never, ever be forgotten. And that's what I think a Hawk is. He's gone, but he's never going to be forgotten, and he's going to live on in infamy with especially the White Sox. I mean, you know, he was the ultimate homer, and everybody knew that, but he was such an enjoyable character of the game, and I was so proud to work with him for 12 years.
It was phenomenal television. I spent my honeymoon in Jamaica, Whippy, but I was, you know, I did some reading, and I read Hawk's book. I finally sat down and read the final 300 pages or so. And have you read it for one?
I have not.
Okay, so first off,
I told Hawk that once I put his book down, I can't pick it up again. I'm kidding.
So he's obviously extremely complimentary to you, his favorite broadcast partner, all that, and then he tees up the one fight I ever had with Tom Pachorik, and I'm remembering this, I think correctly, he was Gaga over Michael Jordan and his golf game, and maybe his baseball game too, and you challenged him on it, and there was a little bit. Do you remember this?
I said it did have to do with Michael, and you know, Michael wasn't very good at golf or baseball, to be honest with you. He was, and I still think he's the greatest basketball player of all time, but it's, you know, as Clint Eastwood once said in that movie, a man's got to know his limitations. And I think that was the gist of it. It lasted about 5 seconds, and then was over with.
Yeah, I was like, I'm reading it. When he started teeing it up, I thought it was going to be like this real fight about something. It's about Jordan's golf game?
Well, you know, one time we were playing golf, and I dropped my putter accidentally as Hawk was going to shoot like a 65 or something. Charlie Huff was standing right next to me, and it distracted him. He missed this little putt, and that's the first time I think he really got mad at me, and I don't blame him.
I also didn't realize, and I should have known this, but he literally was friends with everyone. Guy had so many contacts.
Yeah. I mean, big-time guys. Yeah. You know, Ted Williams and he were very close, and Kyle Yastrzemski and, you know, Mr. Yawkey with the owner of the Red Sox. And
Arnold Palmer.
You know, and, Arnold, yeah. They golfed together for many years, and, you know, they lived at the same course.
Okay.
You know, in Orlando. So, you know, I know his exposure to a lot of very, very important people.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's one of those charismatic characters that was kind of drawn to them. You know, he did a lot of things that other people didn't. Like he told me, one of my favorite was when Hawk bought all these Nehru suits, and before he could wear them, they were out of style. You know?
Most people go ahead and wear them, I would assume, but you know.
I was. Lucky I wasn't around.
Yeah.
But no, Hawk was one of the really great characters of the game, you know. And, you know, one of the things, Mark, that I've always thought about, especially from a broadcasting standpoint, the one thing that I want out of an announcer that I'm listening to is I want to be entertained by that guy. You know, I want him to know his stuff, explain the game, and, you know, the what happened, the why it happened, everything. But I want him to have a good sense of humor, and I want to be entertained by them. And Hawk really did that. All his Hawkisms were so entertaining. You know, I'm attracted to guys like Hawk, like Harry Carey, Ahmed Ghazal. Skip Carey was a great announcer too. You know, that followed along those lines. I think that a lot of guys are more stereotypical right now with the famous broadcast voice and stuff that, to me, aren't that entertaining. And that's what I always thought, that we put on a show where we worked together that was entertaining for the fan.
Sit back and strap it down. Yeah, unique.
Yeah.
All of it. And everybody you named there, I completely agree. And Euchre, Vin Scully, whoever.
Oh, my God. Euchre, yeah. He's, you know, Euchre, too, is, you know, Vin Scully. You know, Hawk is in the same class with those guys. Yeah.
I was driving up to a Brewers game, and I'm in the park. I'm waiting to get in the parking lot. And Euchre's on the radio. He's like, look, see with this traffic here. We always tell you guys to come on out here early, but you never listen.
He was Harry Doyle personified. Remember the character in Major League?
Of course.
And, you know, I remember one time we interviewed Hawk, Euchre during a rain delay at either County Stadium. We had him on for about an hour. And the first thing Hawk says to Euchre, you know, they look a lot alike. He said that, boy, that nose of yours sure getting big, Euchre. And Euchre looked at it, didn't bat an eye. He says, you know, if your nose was a quarter of an inch longer, you'd be on the Discovery Channel. And right off the top of his head, I was laughing so hard. And, you know, to be around people like that was so much fun. So much fun. And, you know, and Hawk and Euchre were together was really a riot.
Yeah. You're making me think of a Harry skit that's out there, too, where he asked Ron Santo if he wore his toupee to bed.
Hey, Ronnie, which one are you going to wear today? I remember when one of them started on fire during the game.
Yeah. Stood up in the Mets press box and got his hair on fire. Santo's answer for the record was, I wear a hat, Harry. good stuff.
Yeah, you know, you can't replace those memories either. You know, they're just so much fun.
Yeah.
And, God, you know, and I just can't believe that all this time has passed. You know, we're senior citizens now, and I'm thinking, oh, my Lord.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
What's happened?
This father time thing, the whole undefeated thing, that's no lie.
He waits for no one.
Yeah.
That's why I really think, Mark, you got to enjoy every day you have. You know, I'm going to play golf with my grandson and my son right now. But we have a nice day in Atlanta today. You know, I'm going to enjoy them as much as I can. And, so batting practice whatever I can to my kids, grandkids, and just enjoy every day the best we can, because you just don't know how many more we got.
That's why people love you, Wimperoo. That joy for life, it comes through, and you're obviously 1,000% correct in what you're saying. But which, by the way, as we transition to the field, Sox fans, you should be enjoying a lot on the field this year every single day. I mean, what do you like most about this team, the way it's coming together?
Boy, I'll tell you what, I like the moves they made. You know, I like the addition of Keuchel and Gio Gonzalez to the rotation. You know, Giolito's going to have some help there. And, Encarnacion, he's a factor. You know, he's going to hit some home runs. I'm glad they re-signed Abreu. Moncada's going to get nothing but better. And Timmy Anderson won a batting title last year. You know, so I think the pieces are there, you know, and I think Cleveland is on a downhill plane right now, and I'm not so sure that Minnesota will be as good as they were last year either. And you know, then you got Detroit and Kansas City who should be non-qualifiers this year. So I like the Sox chances. I think and Ricky Renteria is perfect for that ball club. You know, there's a lot of Latin influx in, you know, on the team, and Ricky fits the Sox absolutely perfect. He's a great guy, but he's also a good disciplinarian too, and he'll make sure everybody toes the line and plays what he considers to be good White Sox baseball. You know, the only thing that I didn't like the Sox doing was not bringing back Yoelmer Sanchez. And I'm hoping that sometime, that if he doesn't sign with anybody, they can bring him back. Because he actually, Mark, was my favorite player over the last couple of years. You know, he had an energy and a vibe about him that was irreplaceable. And those are the kind of guys, you know, that have that intrinsic value to the team, not only on the field, but in the clubhouse.
Yeah, I totally agree. I love Yoelmer, and he was great to be around every day. Loved putting on that White Sox uniform and wherever he, right?
Wherever he lands, I wish him nothing but the best of luck. You know, my favorite Yoelmer moment, remember, was somebody hit a walk-off homer, and I was doing a game with Jason Vannetti, and Yoelmer came out with the water cooler and poured it on his own head.
Yeah,
I thought that was one of the funniest moments. It was the, oh my God, I can't remember who hit the home run, you know, he was one of those guys that, geez, you know, this is the guy you can't get rid of, because he's important to the team, and hopefully they'll find a way to get him back.
Yeah, it's funny, too, because I remember that exact moment. I have no idea who hit the walk-off homer. I can look it up here, but...
Well, his brother's on the Golden State Warriors. He's out for the season.
Oh, Trace Thompson.
Thompson, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the guy.
Yeah, that's funny. The White Sox put out their slogan this week, Tom, and the Whipper with us here on 720 WGN. We're not just here to play the game. We're here to change it. And so
I like it.
They're talking about a little brashness. They're talking about a little in your face, a little more edge, which I think baseball is starting to lean into. And you know, the whole marketing of their players to get guys out there a little bit more, so fans know, you know, who they're coming to the ballpark to see, not just, you know, a guy in a cap who you don't really connect with, you know. So I mean, I think it's a great idea, and I think it's something that fans want.
Right. No, I always felt like one of the jobs of a player as well as an announcer for the Sox was to get out in the community, and the Sox do a great job of that. Christine O'Reilly and the whole crew over there really do a great job of getting the guys out, and I think they're going to really emphasize now because we got better players. And, you know, it's like there's payback, you know, in store for you guys who have been beating us up for the last few years. And now I think the Sox, I'd be very disappointed. You know, I look back on, I think it was back in 1990 when the Sox had a kind of a dismal year prior to that. But they brought in Tim Raines. And it was the influx of Frank Thomas, and Robin Ventura was on the cusp, and Alex Fernandez, and the team won like 90 games that year. And we're really contenders, you know, coming out of nowhere. And I think that this could be that type of year for the Sox to be in around that 90 win category. And I'd be disappointed if they didn't.
Yeah, the biggest concern you have, I'm assuming, is the pitching. Am I missing something here?
Well, I think maybe a little bit with the relief pitchers. I'm not really familiar with the guys, but I think the starting pitcher is going to be very representative. I think they're going to have guys. Giolito's the number one on any staff. The way he threw the ball last year was incredible. But I think the other guys are going to keep them in ball games. And with the renewed offense that I really believe the Sox are going to have this year, they're going to score a lot more runs and make it easier for those pitchers.
So you expect Lucas to keep going forward? Because I'm sure some people are worried, like, is he going to regress? But you think that he's right there, solid ground, and you're going to get a great Lucas Giolito.
Oh, absolutely. I think he's the number one guy. I saw him pitch a couple times and was amazed at his composure. I saw him pitch a game against Minnesota last year, the division champions, and they had no chance. I think he struck out 10, walked none, and pitched like a two-hit shutout in Minnesota, and I don't even think he was sweating at the end of the night. I think he has changed his delivery to the point where he's got more deception but without losing any velocity or the stuff he had, and I think he's mechanically a lot more sound now, where he's going to avoid that injury that he had was prone to in the past.
No question about that part. He's worked so hard at it and made it. Big, big, big difference. Wimperoo, we're out of time here. We're going to see you at Sox Fest, right?
I will be there. I'm looking forward to it, Mark. Dial up some good weather, will you?
I'll get Tom Skilling on the horn here.
If Skilling can't do it, nobody can.
Right. I guess I think he's got the direct line to God himself. God bless him.
He's very close.
Yeah, he's right there. One phone call away. Wimpy, right. Great to talk to you, man. Thank you so much.
Great talking to you, Mark. Thank you. Have a great one.
Tom Pachorik.
Everybody in Chicago.
Absolutely. Tom Pachorik, 720 WGN.